from deep inside your radio.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, ladies and gentlemen, where, yes, it's hot. What do you think? But the little, not handmade, but shop-made signs that proliferated on the what everybody else in the country calls median strip, but people here call the neutral ground of the large boulevard leading to the University of New Orleans. Those signs for, about a year and a half, were advertising, we'll gut your home, we'll get rid of mold, we'll put a new roof on. Today, driving over here, I saw they were advertising soccer camp and new private school opening up, longer school day. So some things are changing. On the other hand, the local newspaper, the New Orleans Times-Picayune, it's such a surprise to come to a city where the local newspaper actually covers the local news, because I'm from L.A. It reported Saturday that a federal judge, those damn federal judges, has ordered FEMA to stop cutting off rental assistance to low-income evacuees from the Katrina and the Rita and the thing. Without giving them advance written notice of reasons for the action or telling them they have a right to a hearing. That was probably Anderson Cooper skedaddled out of town before he was able to tell you about that part of FEMA. The part that cuts. Here's what the judge says. The defendants, FEMA, appear to treat the plaintiffs and their prospects of homelessness and the despair and stress of such added worries as if it were gnats to be brushed away while the defendants busy themselves with creating more bureaucratic regulations. She urged a return to FEMA's original mandate of, quote, alleviating their suffering and focus its substantial powers on continuing to help those entitled to relief, including affording them the minimal due process needed to assure that they do. FEMA, ladies and gentlemen, it's helping. China is now not only putting melamine in the pet food and maybe in the people food, putting lead in the paint of toys. A recall has been issued for Thomas the Tank Engine toys in Canada and the United States. About 1.5 million of the toys are in homes across the U.S. The paint used on the toys contains lead. Chinese factory that produces the toys changed the type of paint in January of 2005, causing the lead to be introduced into the product. Now the Consumer Product Safety Commission is looking into all of China's product standards. Not included in the recall are toys marked with the letters WJ or AZ. The products with the code name lead inside are being recalled, however. It's this global economy, ladies and gentlemen. It's a miracle. And speaking of miracles, a judge has awarded the publishing rights of O.J. Simpson's purportedly hypothetical murder confession to the Goldman family. You remember this story? The judge found Simpson deliberately tried to hide. Really, O.J.? Deliberately tried to hide profits he made from the book, his $630,000 advance. Phew. In a shell company, not the shell company, a shell company run by one of his daughters to avoid it being put towards the settlement with the Goldmans. The company, quote, was clearly established to perpetuate a fraud, according to bankruptcy judge Jay Crystal in Miami.
Jay Crystal.
The publishing rights will now be auctioned off by independent trustee on behalf of the Goldmans. The family will get millions of dollars. And the book will be called, you know, the original title of the book was If I Did It. The book will now be called I Did It, if you buy it. Hello, welcome to the show.
Everybody get on your feet. You make me nervous when you're in your seat. Take off your shoes and pat your feet. We doing a dance that can't be beat. We barefootin'. A party the other night. Long tall Sally was out of sight. Threw away a wig and her high sneakers too. She was doing a dance without any shoes. She was barefootin'. She was barefootin'. She was barefootin'. She was barefootin'. Hey little girl with your red dress on, I bet you can barefoot all night long. Take off your shoes and throw them away. Come back and get them another day. We barefootin'. We barefootin'. We barefootin'. We barefootin'. Everybody get barefooted. Take off your shoes. He said to Sue, if I barefoot, would you barefoot too? Sue told John, I stole your stew. I was barefooting ever since I was two. They was barefooting. They was barefooting. They was barefooting. We barefooting.
I see. I grasp the concept now. From the edge of the Gulf Coast, from just spitting distance from Lake Pontchartrain, Louisiana, this is the show. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of it, where just outside this soundproof room, the United States Army Corps of Engineers is fixing to fix the London Avenue Canal flood walls, one of the three canals that did their little thing a couple of years ago. But now, speaking of screw-ups, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
And first up, former District Attorney Mike Nifong.
To the extent that my actions have caused pain to the Finnerty's and the Sullivan's and the Evans, I apologize. To the extent that my actions have brought disrespect or disrepute to the bar, to my community, I apologize.
Okay, so to those extents, the guy who brought the Duke lacrosse team rape accusations has apologized. I bet he talked louder when he brought the charges. Dateline Cleveland, penitent and humbled, First Energy Corporation says its own consultants were wrong to argue the utility couldn't have prevented a rust hole that crippled its nuclear reactor 5 years ago. In a 63-page sworn statement that amounts to an extended apology, the Akron-based utility told the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that it could not endorse many of its arguments made by its paid consultants last December in reports that were designed to help the company collect a $200 million insurance claim. First Energy reaffirms our responsibility for the rust hole, it says, as well as mistakes and omissions related to that event. Clean, safe, reliable nuclear power, ladies and gentlemen. Two senior House Democrats joined members of the Senate in calling for General Services Administrator Chief Loretta Doane to step down. She's the woman who was allegedly having meetings with civil servants, asking them to think, what can they do to help the Republican Party? She defended her allegations that the employee who testified about her statements at the meeting were biased and poor performers who needed, quote, extensive rehabilitation, unquote. Isn't that what the Chinese communists do? She said her comments to investigators were taken out of context and that she was speculating. Was I wrong to speculate? Absolutely. I should not have done this. I thought it was going to be totally confidential. I noticed as I went through this is her talking. I noticed as I went through the transcript of the interview that I probably have some problems sometimes with tense as well as personal pronouns. I feel terrible about this. I apologize to my employees. This is horrible. I regret deeply having allowed this to happen. She's good with the past participle there. Dateline Cincinnati Reds broadcaster Marty Bredeman apologized on the air for comparing Cincinnati's upcoming road trip to the Bataan Death March. He told radio listeners during the Reds game against the Angels that he was wrong to make the comparison in an earlier broadcast, and I profusely apologize. Strike two. Everybody in the world has covered the story this week of the Chinese children being enslaved to make bricks. 1,000 may have been sold into slave labor in China, enduring maiming and brutality in primitive brick kilns. Criticism is rising at official indifference. According to China Youth Daily, local officials had apologized for failing to rescue the workers, but the paper asked, what were they doing before? You could ask about everybody who's apologizing, but only the Chinese think of it. A top army investigator has apologized to New Mexico National Guard soldiers who were ordered to strip to their gym shorts and were searched for gang tattoos while they were on duty in Kuwait. No tattoos were found on the 58 members of Tank Force Cobra. They allege the unit was targeted because of its large number of Hispanic soldiers. Brigadier General Rodney Johnson of the Army apologized, quote, for the manner in which this investigation was conducted and the loss of trust that has resulted. Me, I wonder why you just don't send all the gang guys into the Army. They want to have uniforms. They want to shoot. Bang. I mean, bingo. Dateline Little Rock, an Arkansas legislative panel, passed a resolution Friday expressing profound regret for Arkansas's role in slavery, following the lead of other southern states that have issued similar apologies. A black state legislator called the resolution a mockery. Dateline Annapolis, Maryland, and this opens our section of apologies devoted to mistaken police raids. An investigation into a raid on the wrong apartment continues, but the Annapolis police chief says his department has apologized for the incident. Chief Joseph Johnson says, quote, some important facts are getting lost in the recent reports concerning my department. He admitted the police did enter the wrong apartment on June 6th. The family said officers used flash grenades and kicked a resident in the groin. Police were supposed to raid a different apartment. When the attack squad went to the right unit, they said it was empty. Johnson says the department has apologized several times and they're sorry for the mistake, but he says reports that officers kicked a man in the groin and pushed women on the floor are only allegations, and the allegations are under review, as are the alligators. And in Durango, Colorado, law enforcement officers raided the wrong house and forced a 77-year-old woman on oxygen to the ground in search of methamphetamine. I think they mean in search of people who were making it or trying to sell it. But that's what the story in the Durango Herald says. The raid occurred about 11 a.m. as Virginia Herrick was settling in to watch The Price is Right. Before she reached the door, county sheriff's deputy shouted, search warrant, and barged in with guns drawn. They ordered her to the ground and began searching the home. They didn't give me a chance to ask for a search warrant or see a search warrant or anything, she said. I'm not about to argue with those big old guys, especially when they've got guns and those big old sledgehammers. They were really going to the house next door. I'd gotten really angry, she said, and I was shaking from the whole incident. Once deputies realized their mistake, they tried to help her stand up and help her clean up the mess they created. But she wanted the deputies out. Not too much later, the sheriff came up and apologized and apologized and apologized, she said. This is your brain on the war on drugs. The government of the southern state of Oaxaca apologized for the first time Friday for a police raid on protesters last year that led to the country's worst political unrest in years. The BBC apologized this week for referring to Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and promised not to repeat, quote, the mistake, unquote, following a complaint by four British Muslim organizations. Also in London, Sony Corporation apologized to the Church of England for a violent computer game that features a bloody shootout inside an Anglican cathedral. The church had demanded withdrawal of the game, Resistance, Fall of Man, which includes a gun battle between an American soldier and aliens inside a building that resembles Manchester Cathedral. The cathedral's dean said he had received a letter from Sony, quote, "It was not our intention to cause offense by using a representation of the cathedral in Chapter 8 of the work. If we have done so, we sincerely apologize." No comment this week. But aliens do hide out in cathedrals. That part is. The Rolling Stones infuriated revelers at the Isle of Wight Festival by hijacking their ferry home. The legendary band and their entourage took over the midnight ferry sailing from Yarmouth on the 11th of this month, leaving hundreds of passengers stranded. Ferry company White Link, as in Isle of, apologized to the Maroon Festival goers and laid on an extra 512-passenger boat at 2 a.m. to take them back to the mainland. Hey, they're the Stones. They're bad boys. Cadbury Chocolates has pleaded guilty to 3 hygiene offenses in connection with the Salmonella scare last summer. 1 million chocolate bars had to be recalled. A statement issued by Cadbury saying, "Mistakenly, we did not believe there was a threat to health. And thus, we did not believe that there was a requirement to report the incident to the authorities. We accept that this approach was incorrect. Quality has always been the heart of our business, but the process we followed in the UK in this instance was unacceptable. We apologize for this and do so again today." ABC Television has apologized. Anchor Charles Gibson teased a World News story about D.C. Administrative Law Judge Roy Pearson. He's the guy who's suing a Korean dry cleaner for $54 million over his pants. Viewers saw a video of what clearly appeared to be ex-Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry. ABC quickly apologized. Quote, "We immediately recognized the error and corrected all subsequent feeds. We are deeply sorry for this mistake and apologize to Mr. Barry, Mr. Pearson, and to our viewers for the error." When Fox News did the same thing, you know, here's a black guy in trouble, here's a photo of another black guy, it seems to me there was more uproar. And Al Roker of the Today Show apologized for joking about epileptic seizures on Thursday's Today Show. Quote, "Remember that controversial Olympic logo for the 2012 Olympics in London? Some folks have complained the campaign actually sent them into epileptic seizures," Roker said. "Well, we asked you to weigh in on our website in an informal poll. Those of you who could get up off the floor after shaking around were actually able to log in." Now Roker says he's sorry. "I started joking about it. I want to make this clear. I was not joking about epilepsy or anyone who suffers from epilepsy. We understand and know this is a serious affliction and would never joke about it. We were joking about the logo, not about epilepsy. If anybody was offended, I heartily and really humbly apologize." Al Roker, ladies and gentlemen. The Apologies of the Week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And the new Iraq. Let's check in with the new Iraq. How's it going? How indeed. Some quotes on the subject from the Times of London, owned by Rupert Murdoch. Paul Beaver, a defense analyst, says now British lives are being squandered in Iraq. That's nervy. Quote, "Iraq is a sideshow. Afghanistan is the heart of darkness where the people who will destroy civilization are," unquote. Paul Rogers, a security consultant to the Oxford Research Group, says, quote, "Within the British Army, they believe Iraq is just not worth it anymore. There's a lot of bitterness. They've been set an impossible task by the politicians, and that view has intensified over the past couple of years. The general view in the British Army," says this security consultant, "is that it's time to come home." The United Nations says despite the recent insurgent and militia attacks persist. Hey, surge is, you can't have insurgent without a surge. Civilian casualties continue to mount in Iraq as a whole, according to a report by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Hey, it's only a Ban Ki-moon. The 15-page report tracking events in Iraq over the past 3 months said U.S.-led efforts to restore calm in Baghdad have progressed, quote, slower than had been hoped for, and that violence has spread to other parts of the country. How'd they figure out how to do that? The number of civilian casualties in Baghdad has declined in recent months, but the total number of attacks against civilians in Iraq has not. A senior U.S. military commander says Iraq's army must expand its roles by at least 20,000 more soldiers than Washington had anticipated to help free U.S. troops from daily patrols. Even then, Iraq will remain incapable of taking full responsibility for its security for many years, 5 years in the case of protecting its airspace, and will require a long-term military relationship with the United States, according to Lieutenant General Martin Dempsey, who until recently led the U.S. training effort in Iraq. This was appearing before a House committee. And the United States has now sent its second high-ranking official to Iraq to say, hey, help, we need action now, please. But you already have, General David Petraeus, not Betraeus, Petraeus, who is the our head of the thing right now, the Surge, the author of the Surge, I think, he says, our job right now is to try to short-circuit the cycle of violence between the various elements in Iraq. And the way you, I guess, according to him, you short-circuit a cycle of violence is with bringing more troops in. I'm not writing him. In that case, I'm not even reading it, but I am remembering it because he was on one of the YAC shows this morning. But now, ladies and gentlemen, at the sound of a little button being pushed, it's news from outside the bubble. Let's get to the good news first. Millions of TVs and video recorders will be dumped following the switch over to digital television, says a survey in England. 8 million machines, enough to fill 100 Olympic swimming pools, will be ditched, based on a poll of 2,500 British adults. Almost half of households do not know that video players will not work in the same way when the analog signal stops. 1 in 5 VCRs will be abandoned, possibly causing environmental damage. The cost of replacing those VCRs with digital recorders will exceed $2 billion. ~15% of households plan to throw their old sets away. Kurt Waldheim, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, who died this week, asked for understanding of his Nazi past in a last word released after his death. He denied he was guilty of war crimes, but said he had taken a position on Nazi crimes much too late. This was because of his, quote, hectic and full international life, unquote. Tony Blair has denied his unpopularity has been caused by the Iraq War, blaming his loss of public support on people just getting tired of him after 10 years in office. His comments surprised parliamentary members of his own party, who accused him of self-delusion and being in denial about his legacy. In an interview with the German magazine Der Spiegel, Blair was asked why the public was disenchanted with him. He replied, I've won 3 elections, and what happens when you're in power for a long period of time? People get tired of the same face, the same voice. It's just the way it is. I know people say this is all down to Iraq and so on, but that's not true. Similarly deluded, but in this country, Senator Mitch McConnell on one of the Sunday YAC shows, speaking of the Iraqi government, we've given them an enormous opportunity to have a normal country over the last 4 years. Also from a British newspaper, the U.S.-led administration set up to run Iraq following the invasion was a, quote, dysfunctional organization which almost completely ignored the British, according to Andrew Bear Park, the Coalition Provisional Authority's central British figure. He revealed when he asked for details of the plan to restore the Iraqi power supplies, he was given a one-page piece of paper with a list of a dozen Iraqi power stations and their potential output, what he calls a wish list. That was the CPA plan, he said in an interview with the British newspaper The Guardian. He described Britain as being complicit in Iraq's current position as a failed state due to its failure to prepare a post-war plan. He's a veteran of reconstructions in Bosnia and Kosovo. So, of course, he was out of his league with the Coalition Provisional Authority. He says it was obvious there were not enough troops to deal with looting on an industrial scale, and also blames a lack of cooperation between the U.S. military and the 3,000-strong Coalition Provisional Authority. He said throughout, the CPA was incapacitated by short-term planning and the need to get quick results. As a result, there was constant chopping and changing. There was never a consistent approach to police training. He said, he did say there was a window of opportunity in 2003 following the invasion when the coalition had the support of Iraqi people, but by the winter we were losing them since we were unable to control security. By January 2004, the people realized the situation would not improve. So I guess the Iraqi people were ahead of us. And the Pakistani army is paralyzed by the growing Taliban threat, and some retired officers are covertly aiding the militants, according to a former CIA officer quoted in the British newspaper The Guardian. Soldiers in Waziristan, that nutty tribal area that hosts an estimated 2,000 al-Qaeda fighters, are huddling in their bases doing nothing, according to Art Keller, a CIA case officer who was posted to Pakistan last year. Their approach, quoting him, was to pretend nothing was wrong, because any other approach would reveal they were unwilling and unable to do anything about Talibanization. The Pakistani military insists it's doing its best. Keller says behind the scenes, the fight against the tribal Taliban was riven by divisions among the officers. There are the moderates who fear Talibanization, the professional jihadis who want to embrace the Taliban again, and the middle group who aren't too fond of the Taliban, who resent doing anything under pressure from the U.S. out of sheer bloody-minded stubbornness. Because of that, the Pakistani military remains paralyzed. News from outside the bubble. Ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And finally, at the top of the week's developments, environmentalists are raising the alarm about the latest development in genetically modified foods, zombie seeds, programmed to be sterile until treated with a special chemical. That's a report from the Ottawa Citizen. So watch out for the zombie seeds. They may be among us soon.
Your aim is true, just press and play. Cause I love the way you slide your shoes in the meltdown boogie. Let me wrap around. Jukebox mama, jukebox mama, jukebox mama, let me wrap around you. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Le Show. I guess we've given the Iraqis over the last 4 years this great opportunity to have a normal country, the same way that sheriff gave that 77-year-old woman the opportunity to have a normal house. This week, the New York Times front-paged a story about the debate roiling within the Bush administration. Yes, roiling. Concerning what we should do about Iran. Because the Iraq thing, well, you know, it's pretty much in hand. So now the debate is roiling, I say, about what to do about Iran. So far, the debate has been won by the side, supposedly, according to the Times, represented by Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, that there should be attempts to use the diplomatic and sanctions approach, going to the UN. This is all sound very familiar. And the other side of the debate, which is now gaining strength, according to the Times, pushing against Condoleezza Rice, the other side is headed by, any guesses? That's right, Vice President Dick Cheney, who wants a more robust approach to the situation in Iran. Now, the latest public information is that Iran is 3 to 5 years away from anything remotely resembling capability of doing anything dangerous nuclearly. But that's, you know, they have better intelligence, don't they? We've learned that. And also this week, a federal judge, those darn federal judges, said that Scooter Libby cannot stay out of jail while he's pursuing his appeal of his sentence for obstructing justice and lying to an FBI. Was it FBI? Lying. Obstructing justice. Grand jury. FBI. You take your pick. Anyway, Scooter Libby was told by the judge this week, you will not be on bail while you pursue your appeal. Get your affairs in order. Both developments suggest that to know what's really going on, we may have to go a little subterranean.
Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president. The action-packed diary of a man who's just a heartbeat away from history. Dick Cheney, Confidential. 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 Global warming may indeed be a fever dream cooked up by Al Gore and his coterie of grand-grubbing scientists, but it's definitely getting hot in the immediate neighborhood of the secure undisclosed hacienda. Apparently, when the outdoor temperature goes over a certain red line, it's Navy policy to rehang the pest strips. Even though the residents and grounds are completely indoors, and even though Lynn complained all last year that the military-grade pest strips are so strong, they're killing your chia pets. It's getting hot in another way, too. Political temperature is getting high enough to roast a lame duck, which I have no intention of letting my constituent in chief turn into. But he's been strong-armed over the last few months into pussyfooting around with our Iranian friends. Meanwhile, they're getting close to getting their kebab-stained hands on more nukes than Saddam ever had in my wildest dreams. The chief strong-armer in favor of weak-kneeing is none other than the president's favorite exercise buddy, certain gap-toothed lady by the name of Rice. So rather than doing something constructive, like having a look at Nancy Pelosi's gynecologist's tax records, I paid a visit to Condoleezza in her little private gym, just to give her a seminar on the simple fact that after you build muscle, you have to use it. Wednesday, 7:17 a.m.
I don't usually see visitors besides the president at this time of the morning, and he's usually just trying to match my speed.
I know the feeling. Well, I'm sorry to intrude on a private moment. Actually, I'm not. I think this may be the first time I've ever seen anyone wearing a T-shirt from Foreign Affairs magazine.
Well, they happen to use a very absorbent form of cheap Chinese cotton. Mm. So, Mr. Vice President...
Let's drop the fake formality, shall we?
All right. Mr. President, to what do I owe the pleasure?
That's what I've been wondering for 6 years. But, Madam Secretary, we seem to have a little misunderstanding, you and I, over the Iran account.
On the contrary, Dick, only one of us has a misunderstanding. The one who doesn't get the fact that a certain escapade in the neighborhood has strengthened and emboldened our Iranian friends while reducing our own ability to maneuver creatively. The one who doesn't grasp that the region has indeed been transformed by force, but not in a nice way. Any guesses which one of us that would be?
Condi, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
This thing ever get twigs stuck in its spokes?
No.
No. Well, then I guess this would be a fluke accident.
You know, if I hadn't been strapped in...
Miss Rice, life is short. Especially for those of us in elective office with pacemakers. Sitting around and having polite chats is something we do with people we agree with. Not with terrorists seeking nukes. I just think it might be in your best interest to reconsider your opposition to a robust preemptive nuclear enterprise with regard to the Iranian account, that's all.
My best interest? Dick, are you threatening me? And if so, with what?
Maybe it's just an empty threat, Condi. Sometimes those work, too.
And maybe it's not.
Oh, there's always that possibility. I do know that when the FBI went overboard on national security letters, one of the people it went overboard on is you. We've got some phone taps. God knows what's on them. God and you know. Strange they would have focused on you, Ms. Rice. Must have been one of those name mix-ups the FBI has all the time. You know, I'm a this and Condoleezza that.
Dick, maybe I understand our Iranian friends better because I have one thing in common with them.
You like women in burqas, too?
I don't respond to threats.
Oh, a threat is not what they'll be responding to. If you have to be cut out of the account, Ms. Rice, such eventualities have been known to ensue. You might want to ask Mr. Powell.
I still owe myself 20 minutes.
Have to hand it to you, Ms. Rice. Very tough cookie. In the gym. Our friend Miss Rice may find herself picking out a very different mazurka on her spinet before long. But I couldn't linger to watch common sense sink in. I had a bigger fire to put out. And the flames were licking around the feet of my constituent in chief. Thursday, 5:17 p.m.
Well, Condi told me she's not reconsidering her stand on Iran, so...
Well, she may just be telling each of us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
But, Mr. President, what are we going to do about Scooter?
And by we, you mean me.
Listen, sir, I'd like nothing better than to solve this with a stroke of the pen without even involving you.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, our crusade to strengthen executive power hasn't yet reached that point. So...
See, I watched my dad go through the Iran-Contra pardons.
Those worked out fine.
Yeah, but the guy who made out best on the deal didn't even get a pardon.
Ollie North? He didn't go to jail, either. I don't think Scooter's gonna take to jail any better than... Let's say, Paris Hilton. Maybe worse.
Worse?
Yeah, I don't think she has any national security information that can be bartered for soap.
Dickie Bird, I have to believe Libby is what you've always said he is. A principled, upstanding, loyal member of this administration who will do what's right and keep discretion the better part of his allure until he's safely into his book deal.
Yeah, people behave differently under extreme pressure, sir. Mm. I know I do.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm a personally extremely peaceful person, but when his judge's decision came down, sending Scooter off to jail like some millionaire crack dealer, I lost my personal composure for an instant and threw a waffle iron at one of our secure undisclosed CBs. Fortunately, it missed.
Oh, I am pacified with you on that. Mm. It's a horrible mascara of justice. But look, Chain Man, my polls are lower than Laura's hemlines. I'm lucky if Republicans in Congress even take my calls. I issue a pardon to Scooter right now. I'll have no political capital left for the great initiatives of my final year, like doing what we have to do on the Iran account.
Maybe I just have a higher opinion of your political skills than that. Maybe I believe you could pardon Scooter and still convince the nation that this nuclear scare is nothing like the last one. Maybe this recent little set of speed bumps has sapped a little of your belief in your own sense of mission.
Oh, now there's no belief sapping going on in this noggin, Mr. Vice President. Bumps or no bumps. But it never hurts to put a few extra pounds of air in the old certitude.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think about this one on the exercycle.
Okay, but I wouldn't mention any of this to Condi.
Mm-hmm.
I think she suspects Scooter may have ordered the tapping of her phone.
That's a weird one.
Mm-hmm. Stress of the job.
I'm pacified with that.
I know my begging for Scooter's pardon might make me sound like some kind of State Department softy. Well, maybe I'm mellowing. Or maybe next week I'll initiate procedures to ensure he won't get a book deal. End of partial diary for mid-June 2007. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney.
Confident.
Funny old game, this thing we call love, no one explains. It has two faces. I wish you the best. I wish you the worst. Pity and shame, forgiveness and blame, a kiss and then a curse. The bitterest of words, the gentlest of touch, or they live side by side, and sometimes that is almost enough. Happy today, tomorrow, who knows? I'll threaten to leave, and you'll beg me to go. We twist and we turn, we struggle with fate. Oh, the more that we love, darling, the deeper that we can hate. It's a funny old game, this thing we call love, no one explains. It has two faces, like the sun and the rain. Love has two faces.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you. A couple of good ones this week. First, from injuryboard.com, your source for personal injury news, attorneys, and information. read it for you. Since 2001, academic studies have shown causal links between bronchiolitis obliterans, a rare and life-threatening form of restrictive lung disease, and the chemical used in artificial butter flavoring called diacetyl. Flavoring manufacturers have already paid out more than $100 million in personal injury lawsuits by people sickened by what is now known as popcorn workers' lung. Just in the last 5 years, one death from the disease has already been confirmed. Unfortunately, despite the mounting evidence and increasing number of personal injury and wrongful death claims, there are no federal laws to regulate the chemical's use. Of growing concern, however, is how this chemical affects consumers. So far, there are very few, if any, studies on the effects of eating diacetyl in the butter-flavored popcorn or breathing it in a freshly popped bag. The Environmental Protection Agency has done a study, but has declined to release that study until the chemical flavoring industry has an opportunity to review it. The Food and Drug Administration has said that diacetyl is on its list of substances, quote, generally recognized as safe, unquote. It has not, however, ever studied it. Says David Michaels of the Department of Environmental and Occupational Health at George Washington University. It's not some carcinogen where you get cancer 30 years from now or something. The people are dying right in front of you. He was a Assistant Secretary of Energy in the Clinton administration. He says you can't wait until you have all the evidence. You have to regulate it. Popcorn workers' lung, ladies and gentlemen. And from Building Design and Construction magazine, Southern Methodist University's efforts to land the George W. Bush Presidential Library became all but certain when officials from local architectural firms admitted having been approached about designing the high-profile project. The Dallas Morning News obtained an 11-page solicitation document saying that a building's design must incorporate the, quote, spirit, unquote, of the Bush presidency. According to the invitation proposal, the library must, quote, commemorate and celebrate the accomplishments of President Bush. And the firms are asked for their, quote, thoughts on how the spirit of the presidency of George W. Bush can be incorporated into the architecture, unquote. My suggestion, put a big sign out in front with the wrong address. But I'm Ed Living, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm just supposed to be reading the trades for you, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And you know that Congress has been informed, well, the public has been informed, really, that there have been, we know there's a shortage of trained Arabic language speakers in our whole project over there. And one reason is that some of them, one who wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, I think a week and a half ago, have been asked to leave the army because they violated these trained Arabic speakers and translators, because they violated the don't ask, don't tell policy. There's a bill going through Congress right now, which is in the early stages of consideration, to change that policy. But there are several high officials who still speak in favor of it, and there are others, including these guys.
Few good men being all they can be. It's not just a job, it's an experience. Just don't experience me. Someone
wanna find out every detail. Don't want the can to turn into a disco. Don't want the barracks to be like the jail. So don't ask, don't tell, don't dance too well, don't inhale, don't smell. Don't need the gerblin and felchin and the other stuff too goofy to name. Freedom is the creed of our nation, and we all should pay liberty's price. But I draw the line just east of the spot where my sergeant says someone looks nice. So don't ask, don't tell.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm, won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm.
Gigantic ocean waves spanning hundreds of kilometers from crest to crest have been speeding up thanks to global warming, a new model suggests. Geophysicists, I think they mean computer model, otherwise I'll call Donald Trump. Tell her we've got a smart one. Geophysicists predict that as the ocean surface warms, these so-called planetary waves should speed up. Two scientists tested this idea. Quote, we were really surprised at how quickly the ocean responded to temperature change, one of them said. Dateline, a little more on that. According to the model, global warming has already increased the speed of the waves, but no one noticed because satellites have not been monitoring their speeds for long enough. The model shows by the end of the 21st century, the waves will be 20 to 40% faster compared with pre-industrial speeds. We knew we'd see an effect, says one of the researchers, but we didn't think it would be significant for at least another two centuries. The faster planetary waves will have an effect on global weather, he adds. Interesting. Dateline India, global warming threatens one of the world's major religions, Hinduism, with its potential to affect one of its sacred resources, the Ganges River. Up to 70% of the Ganges water comes during the summer from runoff from Himalayan glaciers. Those glaciers are shrinking by about 40 yards a year, which scientists say is about twice as fast as 2 years ago. For Hindus, the Ganges is a source of healing. They refer to as Ganga Ma. This may be the first place on Earth where global warming could hurt religion. The United Nations climate report says the glaciers which feed the Ganges could disappear by 2030. The World Wildlife Fund says the Ganges is among the world's most endangered rivers. And nuclear power would only curb climate change by expanding worldwide at the rate it grew from 1981 to 1990, its busiest decade, and keep up that rate for half a century, a report released in the United States says. Specifically, that would require adding an average of 14 plants each year for the next 50 years. Don't bet on it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at this same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz shortwave. On the mighty 104 in Berlin, on the mighty XM and the mighty Sirius satellite radio networks, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it on your computer, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. A free download of this broadcast is available at www.audible.com/LeShow. And a podcast, is available for free at www.kcrw.com. Enough W's for you yet? And it would be just like the Corps of Engineers finishing that work sometime this hurricane season. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you already? Thank you very much, The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at innerworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack, a tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago desks, and to Jenny Lawson here at WWNO in New Orleans for making today's show existful. Playlists coming soon, again, at the newly refurbished harryshearer.com. And those of you in the L.A. area, I'll see you at McCabe's Friday night with Miss Judith Owen. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW.com and KCRW, Santa Monica, community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. So long from New Orleans.